Bring you greetings today in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who came here on earth as a child, and he taught us what he wanted us to learn, and he gave his life for us. Over the last several weeks, I saw several photos of some people's prized deer, whether it's my nephew or my brother or whoever else it might be. And in Pennsylvania here, if you're in the rural communities, you probably knew that it was deer season. And some of you, I know, very much enjoy deer season. Some of you are happy just to get your meat without going to the work. And I had to think about the work and the expense that goes into hunting and the sacrifice that it is. Hunting requires sacrifice. It requires planning ahead. You got to find your spot that you're going to hunt. Maybe you're going to go out there and set up your tree stand. You got to buy the right clothes, maybe. Depends how serious you're going to take it. The right bow or the right gun. And then you get up really early and you hike through the woods in the dark. Maybe the fox is screaming or the coon is howling. Might be a cougar, you don't know. And you sit up there in your tree stand. It gets cold. You get cold. You're freezing. All you see is squirrels. You wonder why you're there. It's been a while since I did it, but I well remember that experience. It's a lot of sacrifice, but the sacrifice have rewards, and that's what people go out for, is for their reward. They're hoping to find something that they can take along home with them to feed their family. Hopefully that's what they're out there for. The ability to be a hunter-gatherer who kills an animal for the sake of feeding his family, it's a connection to nature that I think is very healthy. God designed us to be connected to the nature that he created. It doesn't have to be through hunting by any means. There's other ways to connect to nature, but it's very healthy for us to have that connection. I think yesterday was the last day of deer season. I wasn't out, but some of you might have been. But it had me thinking, and the title this morning is Hunting, the Christian's Responsibility. The word responsibility, we sang about, take your yoke upon me. Take Jesus' yoke upon us. And a yoke is something you place on an animal, and they have to pull the load. They're expected to do something. And responsibility is when we're expected to do something, and we're accountable to make sure it gets done. Spent Thanksgiving weekend with my brother-in-law, and he takes care of making sure that the trucking company, making sure that loads get to where they're supposed to go and that each load has a driver. And this is the day after Thanksgiving, and he found out that one of his drivers forgot they had a load he promised to take. And it was eggs, and they had to get there. And he was very perturbed because that driver did not take the responsibility he agreed to take on. He had forgotten. So we see that we have a responsibility. Now, a couple disclaimers up front. This message is not about glorifying sport hunting. Hunting for sport in America probably has gone too far. Think of the days going by when the hunters went out, rode the train out and just killed buffalo one after the other and just left them lay. And the Indians were horrified. There's definitely good things can go too far. This message is not about glorifying sport hunting. Neither is this message to criticize the simple act of going out and killing an animal and bringing it home to feed the family, because we are to take all meat, receive all meat with thanksgiving. I believe God put animals there for us to use in that way. But rather, the intent of this message is to draw us to a greater call. the souls of men. I want you to turn to Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, Jesus took a natural example that the disciples were used to, an everyday part of their lives, and he applied it to in a spiritual sense. If you turn to Matthew 4, I'm going to start reading at verse 12 and read to verse 20. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. This is right after his severe temptations. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." And here's the promise I want to catch. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. So we see how Jesus took the act of fishing, of gathering fish, and likened it to gathering in souls for the kingdom. "I will make you fishers of men." We could say, "I will make you hunters of men." This morning we are likening the natural skill of hunting to our responsibility to find those who are seeking for truth and to help them find freedom from the bondage of sin. If you were reading that last song, it talked about the bondage of sin, and I think we all remember that experience of that bondage and how Jesus Christ could give us rest from that bondage. And that's what we're desiring for everyone else, is a rest from that bondage of sin, the freedom. Sang this morning about the many on sinking sand. And there's so many out there in this world today on sinking sand. Sinking sand is when you're helpless and you're constantly drawn down into it till you can no longer exist. You're gone. You disappear. And that's what sin does to so many. It's constantly sucking people into the grasp. And we are here to save those souls. That's our responsibility. I already mentioned hunting for deer takes a lot of sacrifice. But hunting for the souls of men also takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of hard work and a dedication to the cause. It requires a lot of time. It's a lot of denying myself the comforts that I would like to have. If you ever sat on a tree stand on a very cold morning, you know what I'm talking about. Denying yourself the comforts you would like to have. But the cause is much greater. And it often takes our money as well. So there's ways that it is like hunting, but there's also ways that it is not like hunting in the physical sense. Hunting in the physical sense is taking an animal's physical life for the benefit of myself. And the hunting in the spiritual sense I'm talking about this morning is giving of my life for the life of someone else. So in that way, it is a total opposite. It's not taking an animal's life, but it's rather giving life to a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. Deer hunting brings physical rewards, but hunting for the souls of men brings eternal rewards. So in that way, they are not the same. And also, the urgency for the souls of men is much greater, much, much greater. The stakes are much higher. Remember, our goal is not to take a life, but to give a life when it comes to the spiritual sense. So you might ask, how do we hunt for the souls of men? And I have 10 points here of ways that we can hunt for the souls of men. And the first one is you have to acquire your hunting license. At least in hunting in the physical sense, if you get caught without your license, you're in trouble. So you got to buy your license. And in Pennsylvania, they also have this weird thing where you got to buy a doe tag. That always annoyed me because I didn't grow up with that. You got to plan ahead and get your name in the line ahead of time. But in the spiritual sense, the hunting license is not something that you can buy with money. I just want to read some verses from Acts 8, verse 18. There was a man named Simon. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." The gift of God cannot be purchased with money. There is another way that we need to purchase this gift. And that's from John 12:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So we see here the key to being fruitful in the hunt for the souls of men is to die to ourselves. It was already mentioned about getting self out of the way. And that is so important. We need to die to ourselves. And that process of dying to ourselves is what we call salvation. When I die to myself and I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the one who makes something out of my life. And it is our desire to give that to others. So let's make sure that we have done what it takes to buy. Through dying to ourselves, the gift of Jesus Christ. The second point on how we can hunt for the souls of men is to pay attention to the hunting seasons. You have that guidebook and you open it up. Maybe you have it all memorized when each season starts and when each season ends. And you don't want to get caught hunting with the wrong tool outside of the right season. It's important. Well, the spiritual guidebook says in John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The whole purpose of a hunting season is to limit the amount of animals that can get killed so it's sustainable. Because you saw what happened in the West with the American buffalo when there was no hunting season. The greed of men takes over to the point where there's nothing left for future generations. For some reason, God never had to put a limit on witnessing for the souls of men. Because when it requires dying to ourselves, it is hard to do. And I don't know if there's any way we can outdo the limit when it comes to hunting for the souls of men. The fields are just wide open, ready to harvest. There are so many that need to be reached. There is no limit. The hunting season is now. Pay attention to the hunting season. Number three, pick your hunting spot. In the natural sense, it might be somewhere close to home. It might be on your farm, it might be in the woods next door, it might be up on the mountain, or it might be in a different state. But in the spiritual sense, it's also that way. We often start close to home. Actually, that's where it needs to start. Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we know that Jerusalem was home base for those early Christians. That was their home. And they're going to start preaching in their home, whether it's in the town of Pine Grove or whether it's where you live. Our witnessing needs to start at home. But it also goes beyond, goes to the all nations. Had to think about New York for Jesus. It might be the work in Harrisburg. It might be, you name a city, LA for Jesus. Our hunting for the souls of men will probably take us further than simply home base. And then there's others who go into all nations. And if you remember, there's that verse that says that Jesus will come when the gospel has been preached in all nations. And I admire those who do the sacrifice of going to other countries, giving up family, giving up riches, giving up wealth, giving up comforts, and they go to other nations to teach the gospel. That's a real blessing. Not all of us are going to do that, but it is our responsibility as a Christians that the gospel be preached among all nations. The fourth thing you have to do when you're hunting for souls is to prepare for the hunt. It takes preparation. You don't wake up and decide, hey, I'm going to hunt today. I don't have a gun. I don't have a license. But I just feel like doing that today. It takes preparation. You got to plan ahead. And so it is in the spiritual sense. You have to have preparation. You have to learn from others is a key way to be prepared. In the natural hunting world here in Pennsylvania, I've never been there, but they have in Harrisburg starting on February 3, and it goes for over a week. They call it the Great Outdoor... The Great American Outdoor Show here in Harrisburg. And I did a little research on it. It has over 1,000 exhibitors. They're trying to educate you on how you can be a better hunter or better outdoorsman. There's 650,000 square feet of exhibit space there. And the numbers are just stunning. It alludes to the American wealth when it comes to sports. But the whole goal of that place is to educate hunters on how they can become better hunters. What do we have in the spiritual sense? How can we educate ourselves? How can we immerse ourselves and learn from others? And I had to think, mission meetings. Our church puts on mission meetings. Are we there? Are we learning on how we can be better missionaries? The messages are preached, and they're very educational. Take advantage of them. I used to be a part of a committee that planned the Urban Evangelism Conference. We get together and we get speakers, and they would have topics, and there were so much good things to learn, but there wasn't enough people coming, so they decided to cancel it. So there is no more. Why is there not an interest in learning about hunting for the souls of men? We need to learn, prepare. Another thing you have to do is scout out your hunting spot in the natural sense. You might go out there weeks or months in advance. Some people put up cameras and they try to get an idea of what's happening, get a sense for where they are hunting. Because if you want to be fruitful in hunting, you have to plan ahead. And that's one of the ways of planning ahead. And in the spiritual sense, and we're scouting out for the souls of men, we need to look for signs for souls that are searching for the truth. Souls that are tired of living a selfish life and are looking for more meaning in life. And we need to pay close attention to the hearts of men and take time to listen to them. Pay attention. Listen. Find those hearts that are susceptible to the tools that we will be using. The better you prepare your heart, the more wisdom you learn, the more techniques you learn, the more successful, the more fruitful the hunt, the harvest will be. The fifth point I have is plant a food plot. Some hunters go so far as to till up some land and plant some plants that they know the deer will like, or whatever it is they're hunting. They plant a food plot, and it attracts the game that they are planning to harvest. So it is in the spiritual sense. We know that Jesus Christ himself, he fed the multitudes, he healed the hurting, the sick. In a physical sense, he provided for people. But a food plot without a hunter will bring no harvest. And we see an example of Jesus as he was healing those people and he was feeding those people. He was also preaching to those people, preaching repentance. And we need to make sure that we do not only provide for the physical needs of people, but that we're also preaching for the spiritual needs of people. Remember, a food plot without a hunter will not fill the freezer. Caring for the physical needs of people without caring for their spiritual needs will not bring in the harvest in the spiritual sense. Number six, in the physical sense, when you're out hunting, you choose your weapon. And you're going to pick out the one that you feel is your best one. You're going to practice with it. What tools can we use when we're hunting for the souls of men? And the first one I have here, I recommended three. I'm sure there's more. The first one I have is prayer. Now, prayer is in our Sunday school class has already been mentioned. How Abraham interceded for Lot and his connection to God. But prayer is so important, the power of prayer. And for all you read that verse out of our Sunday school lesson about how the connection to God that prayer brings. And if we're hunting for the souls of men, it's very important that we depend on that connection to God. And I had to think about an earthly weapons where men are very concerned about the power and the accuracy of their tools. In a spiritual sense, prayer is so powerful and it's so accurate because of God. God knows exactly where that prayer may land. God knows exactly where the power needs to be. And the power and the accuracy is in him. It's not in us. That's one thing about the tools that we use. In the physical sense, a weapon goes much further than what I can do with my physical hands, with my physical body. I cannot reach out there 200 yards and have any effect on anything. It's not within my ability. But when I put a tool in my hands, it becomes possible to reach 200 yards, maybe 1,000 yards. And so it is in the spiritual sense. When we take the tools that God has provided us, the reach is so much further than anything we personally could ever do. It goes beyond our personal abilities. The second tool that I have that we need to use in the harvest of souls is love. Now, love does several things. The first thing that I had to think of, love overcomes fear. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And there's several ways that love, casting out fear, affects us in this sense. And the first one, it gets rid of that timidity that we feel. That fear of others, of speaking the gospel for Christ. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. We need to get rid of that shame. We need to use love instead of fear. If our love for others is great enough, our fear of others will disappear. We will no longer be timid men. Rather, we will be men on fire for the Lord as Jesus was. Another way that love casts out fear is as we spread that love, it eliminates the fear of others toward us. Love will turn a stranger into a friend. I'm sure we've all seen that. It's been my experience. I've had some people that were very cold, very distrusting. But as you continue loving them, and you continue just being a person for God, being a genuine person, and eventually they're won over, and eventually they can be your best friend. That's what love does. And when you're reaching for the souls of men, this is so important. Love will soften any heart. In the physical sense, a hunter will often aim for the heart. And that's what love does. Love aims directly for the heart. That's where we need to go. Another tool that I have here this morning is the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? What does the Bible call the sword of the Spirit? Can somebody tell me? The Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. Listen to this description in Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we see that this not only affects our physical, but especially our spiritual. To the very center of our hearts, of our beings. And so it does when it is shared with others. It can reach into the very center of their hearts, to the very being of who they are. It can touch them in a way that nothing else can. So let's use the Word of God. This is not our tool, it's God's tool. And they only work because of the power of the Creator. The same Creator who made that individual that we're trying to reach. It's the same Creator who gave us the Word. It's the same Creator who gave us love. And it's the same Creator who taught us prayer and the connection to Him. And I had to think about how these tools are almost more like guided missiles. But God is the one that is guiding them. So we send them off, but God is the one that guides them to where they need to go. They're out of our control so many times. God knows where they can do the most good. The main thing that we can do is use them. Now, the number 7 I have here, hunting for the souls of men, is eliminate suspicious scent. And anybody who has experience in hunting knows that you can't sit upwind of a deer and smell like a human and expect to see the deer. It's just not going to happen. They're just not that dumb. And hunters go to great effort and great expense to eliminate all suspicious scents that would alert the deer. Deer have an acute sense of smell. We know that if you've ever done any hunting. But people also have an acute sense of smell. Not in the way that deer do. We're very poor at that. But people have an amazing ability to smell out somebody who is not genuine. They can smell if somebody says, "I'm here witnessing to you, but I'd rather be doing something more fun. My heart's not really in it." They can smell if we don't really love them, but we're just doing this because it makes us feel good about ourselves. If I'm out witnessing because it somehow just makes me feel good, I'm doing what God told me to do, and I'm going to put another mount on the wall in my house. People can smell that if we're doing it for ourselves. It has to be out of a burden for them, not to impress others with my ability. And that was my last one here. People can smell if I'm witnessing to impress others. We need to get rid of those fake smells, and we need to be genuine. These scents will spook almost any searching soul. They realize that you're in it for yourself and you don't really care about them. Comes back to the tool of love. So important. We need to ask God to cleanse us with His soap. God's soap that He cleanses us with is love and humility. I think I wrote down here it wrong. I have love, humility, and love, but I guess that expresses the importance of love. There's nothing like humility and love to cleanse us from the fakeness that we all are tempted to display. Point number 8 here I have, the hunting for the souls of men is to dress for success. I'm going to take you to Ephesians 6. If you want to turn with me to Ephesians 6. The hunter who goes out in the woods. Often gets his bright orange, or maybe it's camouflage. He makes sure he has warm clothes. Make sure he has good boots that are going to keep his feet dry. Or maybe if he's hunting in a warm season, he's going to make sure that he has a way to keep the bugs away. He's going to dress for success. And in a spiritual sense, we need to do that as well. Start reading here in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we see here the things that we need to put on. In the physical sense, there is, in some ways, we are attacked, whether it's the cold, whether it's the bugs, whether it's, God forbid, a stray bullet. But in the spiritual sense, as we are trying to reach souls for the harvest of the kingdom, we need to be very aware that we are also being hunted. And when we are dressing for success, a lot of the things we are supposed to put on is protection from the evil one. We see here truth. Truth is so important. In the deception of our day, we need to be protected with truth. Righteousness, the act of living right, being right. Talks about the gospel of peace, faith, salvation. And then it talked about some of the tools that we referred to earlier, the sword of the Spirit and prayer. We need to put these things on if we have any chance of success when it comes to reaching the souls of men for the harvest of the kingdom. Point number nine I have in hunting for the souls of men is to hunt with others. Hunting is a personal responsibility. However, we get a lot further when we don't try to do it alone in the larger sense. We are not alone in trying to reach the souls of men. It is not a competition. I want to read 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 9. Paul speaking, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. So we see that I may use the sword with love and prayer, and I don't see the effects immediately in the spiritual sense. And then somebody else might come along and use the same tools on the same person, and There's immediate results. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. So often, we might be planting and we don't see the end fruit. Or we might be pouring water on those plants, but we don't see the end fruit. Let's remember, we're just one in the kingdom of God. And as we each do our part to reach for the souls of men, God can give the increase. It may be someone else that leads that person to spiritual freedom, even though we invested so much into that person. Remember, it's not a competition. In the physical sense, sometimes the sin of jealousy creeps in. You see somebody that got that big deer, and you're like, why am I never the one to get that? I remember as a teenager praying that God would let me shoot the big buck, and God never answered that prayer. It was a selfish prayer for good reason. But in the souls, when it comes to the souls of men, when the sin of jealousy tries to creep into our hearts. In the example, let's say we invested so much into somebody's life, and then somebody else comes along and just speaks a few words and makes so much difference to that person. Let's remember, and this brings us to our point number 10. Let's remember that the trophy is the Lord's. In the physical sense, when it comes to hunting, so many men want to go out and kill something. Hopefully it's a trophy, and they're going to spend a lot of money to mount that thing and to put that trophy on the wall. And then people come and they can say, this is a deer I shot. It's not necessarily everything wrong with that picture, but that trophy does collect dust. And there will come a day when that trophy probably will be on the yard sale for $10 because it no longer means anything to anybody. I've seen that. But in the spiritual sense, the weapons that we Christians carry are not our own. The weapons are His, and the souls of men are His. I want to take you to Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus gives us some crucial teaching here. It was one of the last things that He left. We talk about the last words of somebody before they die. And if you had somebody that was very experienced at hunting, they knew all the best techniques, and you were very interested in hunting, you'd be very interested in hearing what they had to say. And so it is, so it should be with Jesus. Jesus was the master fisherman, the master hunter, the master harvester. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We see here, if we do teach the gospel, if we do bring a soul to Christ, if we do baptize someone, there's yet something else that needs to be done. We need to teach them how to be a disciple. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we teach them how to be a disciple. But we also teach them how to be hunters for the souls of men. And as we invest our energies into others, and then they invest their energies into others, and the harvest can be so great. The harvest is the Lord's. The trophy is the Lord's. And then we read back in 1 Corinthians 3, we read that every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Your mount, nobody may ever know what you did for Christ. You may never have a mount hanging on your wall that people can see and say, yeah, that's what he did. He led that soul to Christ. It may never be there. Somebody may never know. But there will be a mount on the walls of heaven God will never forget what we have done for him, and our reward will be great. And our reward will never be sold on a yard sale for $10. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's worth so much more. In closing, I was once talking to a deer hunter, and he was showing me his pictures of all the big deer he had shot. And I asked him, since you were so successful, are you done now? And he said, absolutely not. He was continuing to hunt. Whatever drove him kept him in the game. That's how it should be in the spiritual hunt for souls of men. Just because you've possibly led one soul to Christ, just because you've made a difference in somebody's life, don't stop. Continue. Never give up. Jesus said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. I don't believe we can really understand or grasp the urgency that Jesus Christ feels. He came here. He gave his life. If we think about Christmas, how Jesus came as a baby, gave up heaven and all the glory that came with it, and came and suffered the ridicule of men and gave his life through tremendous suffering, all that we could be saved from sin. And the urgency that Jesus has that every man could be saved, I don't think we can really grasp that urgency. I know for me it's so easy to forget that urgency. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth. Jesus gave us everything he had for us. How much can we give for him? I leave you with two words. Keep hunting. Let's kneel for prayer.